The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Happy Hour Podcast. I'm your host, Gretchen Garrity, and I am so excited to record today. I feel like I say that at the beginning of every single Happy Hour Podcast episode, but I really am really excited. Like, I'm feeling so good about this episode. I have so much to say, so much knowledge, and also, let me just say, on days that I record for this podcast, I just feel like I have my life together a little bit because it takes a lot of like planning. I have to schedule out my day sort of around the recording of the podcast because it's like the perfect scenario right now, right? Like, I need to be alone in my apartment, which I guess I have been here alone a lot since like Max is always away. But like, Brody's in his perfect ideal state, looking so cute and cuddly over there on the couch. He has to be like recently walked, fed, happy, sleepy, so that he's just like chilling with me and not like making noises or running around and needing attention or things from me. And yeah, I'm just like feeling good is what I'm trying to say, because I have this so planned out. And I feel like recording for this podcast, and this podcast just feels like actual work, but like fun work, don't get me wrong. But I just feel like for Instagram, YouTube, since I've been doing it for like 10 years, it sort of just feels like second nature. Like, I can like turn off my brain and do it, and it almost like, I feel like I'm just capturing my everyday life, so it doesn't feel like I'm working in a way. Like, I am, because I'm vlogging and I feel very like overwhelmed at times. But I don't know, something, it just hits diff, like really thinking about what I want my podcast episode to be about, planning it all out. It just feels like very rewarding, I guess, in a way, is what I'm trying to say. And yeah, I just like love taking the time out of my day to sit down and record this. It feels like I'm in like work mode right now, and I'm just getting after it, and I'm like loving every second of it. So without further ado, let's get on into this episode, because I have so much to say. I feel like this is gonna be a long one, but I tried to not do too much. I mean, you can already see the title, What I Wish I Could Tell My Younger Self. Which, by the way, I'm like having deja vu saying this, and I literally just looked through all of my episodes being like, did I do this before? But I haven't. I think I've just literally written this episode idea down on my calendar for maybe the last year. I'm not even kidding. Like, I'll just sort of brainstorm like podcast ideas or something, and I've thought about this one for a while, but I finally was like, yeah, I'm like ready to do this. I am, oh my gosh, in 2 months about to turn 25. That sounds so old. Okay, I'm so not ready. Not me saying I'm gonna get into it and then I'm like chit-chatting, digressing all over the place. But yeah, all I'm trying to say is I like feel like I've done this, but I haven't. And I think it's just because I've thought about doing this episode for so long. So finally we're doing it. So you guys know I start off every episode talking about something that I'm happy about and like a happy quote, happy idea, something like that. So before we really get into the meat of this episode, ew, I don't think I like that word. I just wanted to do a little recap of my trip to Boston this past week. But before that, I didn't even say what I was trying to say. What I'm happy about is that I got to go to Boston. So this will lead into the Boston recap, okay? It is making me so happy that I got to go. I'm feeling so emotional. I felt so emotional the whole time I was there. Like, it just felt like I was back home. I had the sense of like, this is where I belong almost, or I guess just a sense of belonging. It's not like that's the only place I belong. I feel like I belong here in Allentown, PA. I'm very settled and comfortable here after being here for like a year and a half almost. However, Boston just hits diff. Since it was my home for 5 years, I just feel like such a sense of nostalgia there, kind of how I feel in my hometown in Albany. But I just feel like I'm supposed to be there in a way. Or I just feel like I thrive there. I don't know. I just love it. I'm so happy when I'm there. My spirits are high. I feel like extra independent. I feel like I already talk about this somewhere, and I have this very planned out with my notes, so I feel like that comes up again. But yeah, I just had the best time and felt like I was back to my old ways in Boston in like the best way possible. So yeah, that's just what I'm happy about, that I got to go. Was literally there for maybe like a full 48 hours. Like, it was so quick, but I made the most of it. And then my happy quote or idea, I guess, is a quote really from Peyton Sarton. If you guys listen to her podcast, she is very new to me, her podcast at least. But I followed her on Instagram for a while now, and I love following this girl. And her podcast also just hit diff, because on Instagram, I'm very inspired by her. She's so cute. I love just following her like day-to-day life on her stories. It's very aesthetic. Like, she's so cute. I love all her like outfits and recommendations, like that whole thing. But I also relate to her life in a lot of ways, just because her, now I'm like going on a tangent talking about her, but long story short, her boyfriend is in the MLB, and so it reminds me a lot of how I date Max, his hockey player, and just how they are like always on the go. It can be very hectic, like living wherever they live during the season to be with them, and then like this year she's starting to like go with him during the season, and then they live somewhere different in the off season. And so I just relate to her in a lot of ways, like dealing with that. But what I'm trying to say is this little quote that she said. I'm trying to remember what podcast episode it was in, because she has one recently called like 28 Life Lessons, because she turned 28. But it said that I haven't listened to that one yet. Like, it isn't, like, I haven't played it yet. But then I'm like, did she say it in a different one? Because I definitely didn't hear all the 28 Life Lessons. Maybe it was on her Instagram when she was talking about that episode that I heard this. Anyway, regardless, I know it's from Peyton Sarton, wherever I got it. She talks about for a little while in some episode about this idea that you are your home. And I loved every second of it when she was saying this. I need to find exactly where it is so I can tell you guys, or if you know, like, let me know, DM me. But she was talking about too how she made it her Instagram caption a while ago, and she got a DM from a girl being like, this really resonated with me, I've thought about this for months, like it always sticks with me, kind of thing. And I feel like it's gonna stick with me too, and it makes me feel even more independent. Like, basically, I think why I love listening to her podcast so much is because I love her outlook, and she just seems like a little bit more wise than me, maybe being like 4 years older than me, or I guess 3 years, I don't know. Like, she's lived more life, she has good advice. And she just lives her life so, like, on her own terms and so independently, even while being in a relationship now. Like, she's just extremely independent. She talks about how being hyper-independent is sometimes, like, a negative thing. But I am so inspired by that for someone who has, like, struggled with independence. And now I feel like I'm in such a good place with being independent. So hearing, like, you are your home, I just love that so much. Like, it almost reassures me that I can feel at home and cozy and, like, a sense of belonging and independence and settled and good wherever I am, because it's, like, at the end of the day, I have me. I feel like I talk about this again later on in the episode, but yeah, I just love that little quote. Hope you guys like it too. You are your home wherever you are. You know, it's, like, make your home somewhere you want to be, like, yourself, and cozy, and yeah, like, it's kind of sad in some ways. Like, at the end of the day, you just have you and you're like, oh, that kind of sounds lonely, but then it's like comforting in a lot of ways too. Like, as long as you love you and work on you and are comfortable spending time alone, which I never was before, but now I like enjoy my own company. It's like such a nice, cozy feeling. Okay, Boston recap. Like I said, I felt so welcomed back by like the city itself, which sounds weird, and you guys, I mean, mainly, like, I just got an outpouring of love, like, on social media, like, so many DMs. I met more subscribers than I ever have ever in my 48 hours there. I was just running into you guys left and right. I would, like, went to Flower in the morning to get my little avocado toast in my latte, and I met the sweetest subscriber working there, and I was, like, grilling her. Sorry if I meet you in real life, you guys, and I'm, like, grilling you, asking you so many questions, but it's almost like I feel like I have to catch up because you guys know so much about me, and I'm like, oh, like, this girl. I was like, wait, you go to BU? Oh my gosh, no way. Like, what year are you? What school are you in? What major are you? Like, I want to know everything, because I just feel like we're friends. So anyway, it was just so fun, and I met so many of you guys. I think I talked about this in my vlog a little bit, or maybe not. Oh, I know, I think I did in my Boston vlog, how randomly two girls I met Thursday night, it was their 21st birthday. And so, of course, I'm like buying us all shots and making us take shots. I'm like, wait, just making sure you guys like want these, right? I'm like, I'm not trying to like, no, it was literally so much fun. It was a blast. Again, like I said, I just feel like I thrive in Boston in a way. And to what I was saying before about independence and you are your home, I just feel like in Boston, I can be even more independent. Like, I feel like I can take what I've learned since being here in Pennsylvania, aka me being way more independent, and things like the importance of rest and relaxation. And I feel like I could bring that knowledge. I'm like holding my hand in like a little ball right now. I could take this knowledge and bring it with me back in Boston, because when I was there before, I didn't know how to spend time alone. I never spent a day alone in my entire first 22, 23 years of my life. Like, that sounds crazy, but if you think about me being a twin, like, I legitimately never had to enjoy my own company. Like, at first, being alone, I was so anxious, and it was such a hard thing for me to get over, and it honestly just took practice. And then now I'm here alone, like, every day in Pennsylvania, and it's so crazy, because the thought of that, like, 2 years ago would have stressed me out. I'd have been like, yeah, I can never, like, sleep in my apartment alone. And now I'm like, thriving, and when Max comes home for a day, I'm like, you're kind of like in my space, like messing with my routine. No, but that's all to say that, yeah, I've gotten better at being independent. I've said that a bunch, but I feel like I could bring that with me to Boston. And I felt like practicing my new independence while I was there, I was just like thriving, because there's so much to do and I can just run around the city by myself. And it's like, I almost don't feel lonely because there's so many people around, but at the same time, I'm like doing my own thing, living my own life. And it just is like a really nice feeling. And what I was thinking is this independence, my older, wiser self. I'm going to look back at this episode when I'm 30 and be like, wow, I knew absolutely nothing. But all that is to say, I want to bring that with me when Max and I try to live there over the summer, which we need to figure out. That's like a whole other situation. I think I was talking about that in my vlog too. I'm like, if any of y'all have like a home, an apartment, something in Boston that is, I don't know, just gonna like sit empty this summer, let me know. If you want a big 70-pound furry golden retriever and your favorite YouTube couple, Max and Gretchen, living there. I'm only half kidding, because we seriously need to find a place to live there over the summer. We're trying to figure out if we're going to do like the short-term lease route, but then we would need to do like rental furniture probably, and that's like a whole thing. Or if we would do like Airbnb, that's nice, because then there's like furniture and everything already there. But in my mind, that'd be like so expensive for like a month or two. So we just got to figure all that out. And I'm like, I'm trying to travel a lot this summer if it's like safe and good and everything, because it's like the one time Max and I can when he's not in season. So then it's like, why would we get an apartment in Boston for 2 or 3 months if we're like gone the whole time? So I just don't know. But I do know that I want to be there for a portion of my summer, because I love it there so much. It's literally, Boston is so perfect for me and Max, you guys, if you really think about it, because it is, well, not right in between, but it is between Albany and Cape Cod, like where Max is from, where I'm from. It's like 2.5 hours from where I'm from. It's like an hour from where Max is from. So it's just such a good place for us. We love it there, and we will see how this summer goes. But back to my Boston trip. Got there Wednesday night and had dinner with Max. It was really nice. One of my favorite places, Giacomo's. I go to the South End, Back Bay-ish one, not the North End one, because the one in like Back Bay, South End, you can make reservations, which is important because they're really small. And the one in North End, I don't think takes reservations. So you probably will wait like an hour or two. But it was so good. Their butternut squash ravioli. I'm like getting way too into this. We have a lot of meat, like I said in this episode. Why does that sound gross to me? I think when I say like the meat of the episode, I think of like literally raw beef on like a plate. Okay, why is my mind bringing me this way? Anyway, what I'm saying is, oh, Giacomo's, right? I'm saying literally my favorite restaurant, butternut squash rav, get it, so good, my favorite meal ever, like on this planet Earth. And so of course we had to go there. Then went to Earl's for like a little drink, a little dessert after, walked around, explored Prudential, Copley Square. We stayed at the Four Seasons One Dalton location. So it's like Back Bay and it's just near everything. And it was amazing, wonderful. I didn't even say the whole reason that I went to Boston for 2 days mainly is because the Flyers were playing the Bruins on Thursday. So yeah, Wednesday dinner, slept, whatever, woke up. Then Thursday, I'm like giving you a whole play-by-play. Went to Flower in the morning, had my toast, my chai latte, walked to my hair appointment. This is when I was feeling the best vibes. I'm like, oh, I just love it here. I'm so independent. I'm like getting after it. Walked to my hair appointment, saw my guy Kyle at Salon à Côté. listen up if you're in Boston. If you're like, Gretchen, what's your recommendation? Because I get that DM still all the time. And I'm like, if you were a real one, if you really paid attention, no, I'm kidding. I've gone to Kyle for years and years and years and years and years, like the whole time I was in Boston. Kyle at Salon Acote. Go to him, especially if you are blonde. He does an incredible job. Like, he is just my favorite ever. We got to catch up. He is just, like, one of my besties, honestly, at this point. I just feel like we're family, like, being in town, and he just squeezes me in to, like, touch up my hair, and we could just, like, catch up on life. It was the best, continuing with the best vibes, like, the best vibes ever. Then Lucy, my twin sister, my best friend Hannah, drove to Boston, met me for the hockey game Thursday night. We were with so many friends and family, like so much of Max's family from the Cape, so many friends. It was amazing. It was so great. It was Max playing literally against his like hometown team in a way. Like, he grew up watching the Bruins, obviously, being from the Cape. So that was like very surreal seeing him play for the Flyers at TD Garden. And I'm just so happy for him. It feels so weird, like, saying that and saying that he plays for the Flyers, because I feel like you guys have been with us along this whole journey, and like we would like manifest it, and I'm sure that was like a goal of his. And it's so funny, last year, I'm literally getting so distracted going on so many tangents, but I was just thinking about how stuff like that really works, and how hard work, determination, manifestation, visualization, all the things like really do. Because last year, I feel like Max showed me on a piece of paper, he wrote down some goals, and it was like, sign an NHL contract or earn an NHL contract, that kind of thing, which he had never had before. And like, he literally did it and signed his first NHL contract. I want to say it was last March, but didn't play in his first NHL game until October, scored his first goal in December, and here we are January, and he's like living his best life. And I could not be more proud of him. Like, I could like be emotional. I'm literally so proud of him. Anyway, so that was like a very, very cool experience Thursday. Then Friday, woke up, got my Tate, another one of my faves in Boston, and drove home. Got my Brody man, who I was missing so bad the entire time. Like, he is 2 feet away from me right now, and I wouldn't want it any other way. Like, I miss him every second we're not together. I could also be emotional. I'm such an emotional being. Like, he just looks so cute sleeping right now. I could have a tear I want you guys to see. Okay, that was last week. Now it's Tuesday, so... And this is going up Friday. So this is very current, okay? Yesterday, Monday, just bringing you up to speed. I had plans to see Brooke and Danielle, and I was so excited about you guys. I have not seen them in the longest time, like probably a year. I don't even know the last time I saw Brooke and Danielle. We're going to go to an Islanders game. Long story short, Max ended up not playing, so we didn't go, and I was so sad about it. And then, of course, he's playing tonight, the day after. Like, we just never know. But clearly, it was just not meant to be. Hopefully, I will see them soon. There actually is an Islanders game again next week. Like, the Flyers play the Islanders on Long Island again next week, so maybe I can see them then. But yeah, we will see. I was literally, just before starting this episode, I ended up starting it like a little later than I had planned in my schedule, because I was texting with two girlfriends, like hockey girlfriends, and we were just talking about how, man, like, you never know. Like, whenever you think you know and you have a plan and you're, like, pretty sure, no, like, the rug gets pulled out from under you. They're like, nope, Max, you're not playing. This would be your third game in a row and you're not playing. And he's like, great, amazing. And I'm like, oh, perfect. Now we're not going. It, like, plans can always change. Like, you never can make plans. I said, if hockey will make you one thing in this world, it will make you goddamn flexible, okay? Because you have to be. So, yeah, we were all just laughing, relating on that. And here we are. It's Tuesday. Like I said, vibes are immaculate. It's so snowy and nice out. I just took Brody literally on like a 45-minute snowy adventure walk, all bundled up, because I needed him to just be in his most peaceful form, like he is right now sleeping during this podcast. And yeah, tonight, Max has a hockey game. I'm going to go to that. I was making plans with one of the girls to, like, get food before. Yeah, that's just currently today. But let's finally get into this episode, you guys. What I wish I could tell my younger self. I wrote down sort of, like, 10 lessons, 10 things that I wish my younger self could know. I was thinking earlier how I could be, like, oh, like, 15 things I want to tell my 15-year-old self. And I'm like, you know what? No, this is just going to be what I wish I could tell my younger self, because this applies at all ages. Like, it's not, like, specifically when I was 12 or 18 I wish I knew this. Just, yeah, maybe, like 16, 17, 18 in there, because I feel like that's when you are in high school and you're going to go to college and you really start worrying, like, oh, my gosh. And I just felt like in high school, everyone is so – I mean, with a grain of salt, I mean, everyone's situation is different. But personally, I felt so, like, I had no idea what was even going on in life and what, like, the world was like, because you were just so in your high school bubble. Like, you are sheltered in a lot of ways and just only know people from your little town, and I don't know, you know, you just aren't exposed to a lot of things yet. So I just want to tell my younger self these things because I feel like I would worry a lot. I'm such a worrier. We'll get into that. Interrupting super quick to tell you guys about my mattress that I'm so obsessed with. I'm sure most of you probably already know since I talk about it so much. And to put it into perspective, I have to quite literally peel myself out of bed in the morning. It is that comfortable. I'm not even kidding. It's the Helix Midnight Lux. That's the specific model. And you may have seen when I posted about it recently on my Instagram, YouTube, podcast in the past. I actually get DMs from you guys quite frequently asking about which mattress is it again that you have that you love. Like, I remember you talking about it. So this is it. This is the mattress. Especially, I'm sure some of you are sleeping on some old, uncomfy mattresses at night. I was too before Helix, and for you specifically, maybe it's time to consider an upgrade. And if you're already in the market for a new mattress anyway, if you didn't know already, Helix Sleep has a quiz that takes just 2 minutes to complete, and it matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. Helix knows that every body is unique, and they have several different mattress models to choose from. So they have soft, medium, and firm mattresses, and also mattresses great for cooling you down if you get hot when you sleep. When I took the Helix quiz, I was matched with a midnight mattress just because I wanted something that had a medium feel, and Max and I are actually both side sleepers. It was so fast and easy to unpack and set up once it got here. So if you're looking for a new mattress, you take the quiz, you order the mattress that you're matched to, and the mattress comes right to your door, shipped for free. You don't ever have to go to a mattress store, literally ever again. And I know Helix actually offers exclusive discounts for teachers, students, and first responders, which is amazing. Helix is so awesome. Obviously, you guys already know I'm their number one fan. You guys can go to helixsleep.com/Gretchen, take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. I know they have a 10-year warranty, and you actually get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They will even pick it up for you if you don't love it, but you're gonna, trust me here. And Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for you guys at helixsleep.com/Gretchen. Yeah, okay, number one, let's do it. My first thing, I wish I could tell my younger self, and if you guys watched my content, followed me at all during maybe the end of high school, but really college, you will laugh because this is for specifically my college self. Okay, Gretchen, listen up. That doing everything and overcommitting your time and energy will run you into the ground, okay? Like, it's gonna. You're gonna be sick. You're gonna be burnt out. You're gonna be exhausted. And that being able to say no, politely, of course, is so important for your well-being. Like, if any of you are people pleasers out there, overcommitters to doing things, helping others, then you can relate to this. Because, oh my goodness, like, I just look back at my college self, and in a lot of ways, I don't regret it. I'm like, get it, girl, get it, Gretchen, you lived your best life. I feel like I really did. People always say in college, like, say yes to everything, of course, with a grain of salt, you know, yes to all the good, positive things, because you only have 4 years, you want to experience all the things, and I feel like I really experienced all the things. Like, I obviously started on the rowing team, switched my major, was in a sorority, I traveled constantly, which I really feel like was sort of overcommitting my time and energy, and it really did run me into the ground. And like going out all the time or being really social all the time when maybe I should have like prioritized my physical health, mental health, well-being really did burn me out. And I was exhausted all the time. But I feel like that is normal in college. And it was sort of just like a period of my life that I knew was happening and that I kind of wanted to happen to get it over with. If that makes sense. Like going out all the time, being social, like doing all the things. But it really did take a toll on me, to be honest. Like, I was sick all the time. I think my senior year at BU, I had strep maybe 6 times, maybe 8 times. I'm not kidding. Like, once a month, every month, I was getting strep over and over and over. Like, it didn't feel good, you know? Like, I just felt like I was never rested enough. I was probably, like, injuring myself. But I feel like this carries into adult life, right? Sorry, I feel like I'm, like, gasping for air sometimes in my podcast as I'm editing. I'm like, oh my gosh, why am I always like, you know, but anyway, I'm going to take this with me and carry this with me into my adult life. I feel like I am mindful of this now because of times that I went through. Just know that if you say yes to everything and are such a people pleaser and such a yes man, I feel like people talk about that idea. If you're a yes man and not a, I'm going to think about me and my well-being and my best interest man, yeah, you're going to run yourself into the ground. But I almost feel like people have to find that out the hard way. And I even think about like friends of mine that are like crazy, workout-y people. And people are like, you know, you really should prioritize like resting or relaxing sometimes or stretching, like little things like that, like mindful movement. And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm going to go run my 20 miles every day. And it's like eventually your body will tell you enough and you will be injured or have like a stress fracture or anything like that. I feel like all these lessons really apply to sort of all areas of life. So I will try to apply them in every way that makes sense to me. But yeah, even things small, like I feel like I had to learn if someone wanted something for me, but this sounds almost bad to say, but like I don't feel bad, I'll just say it. If someone wants something from you and you are getting nothing out of it, maybe that's a bad way to look at it. Of course, if it's like a friend, like I'll help people out. Like I remember at BU, people would want to interview me all the time for like class projects. I'm not trying to sound like I'm so cool, but no, they just had to find someone that was, maybe it was like specifically social media or someone that was doing something. Whatever. A lot of people were, so these would take like hours out of my day, right? Like each interview would be an hour. And I started to realize like, whoa, like not to be mean, but I'm not really getting anything out of this. It's just for your class project. And like, I am missing like study time over here or like doing my own homework. So I sort of had to like scale back on that. And like, so that's just an example of how you can like politely say no to things that like maybe aren't in your best interest, especially, I mean, that was sort of like neutral for me either way. Like, of course I'd love to help people out when I can. But especially if something is like not in your best interest, like gonna hurt you in any way, just think of yourself first. You gotta put yourself first and say no politely, of course. Okay, moving on to my second thing. I need to hear this every day. I'm gonna replay this part of this episode for myself every day, okay? I wrote it in all caps, so I need to tell it to you in all caps. Everything is going to be okay, okay? Like, yeah, this is really for me. Specifically, and all of you worriers out there. I am such a worrier deep down about everything, like literally every little thing in life. Maybe that is the ENFPN in me, if you don't know what I'm talking about. That's my Myers-Briggs personality type. I'm like weirdly so into that stuff. I don't know why. But I'm an ENFP, and the second category, N, it's like sensing versus intuition. And I think all of this category means, I might be completely wrong, so take this with a grain of salt. I think being intuitive is that you like kind of overthink everything. Like you just think about things a lot. Like you think deeply about everything, which is so me. I think too much about everything. Like, for example, am I where I'm supposed to be in life right now? Like big existential things. Am I living where I'm supposed to? Am I dating the right person who I'm supposed to? Do I have the right dog? Do I have the right friends? Like, have I made the right choices thus far in life? Even am I in the right career path? Like, I worry about these things all the time. I almost wonder in a way if this is like business school mindset me. I feel like I've learned that. And I was like such a math girl. Like I almost made my major math. I'm not kidding. Like, yeah. I was like weirdly very into math and like obviously ended up in the business school. And I feel like I've learned that they teach you that things are, there's like one right way, which I feel like, no, like I feel like I've learned that there's like multiple ways to do things. But I don't know. I just feel like that's how my brain works, is that there's like one right way to do things. And so when I think about like my life and where I'm at, I'm like, okay, in my mind, there's like one right way of how I should be living my life. So then I question everything. I'm like, well, is this right? Am I doing what's right? Like, maybe I should have like a real marketing job. Maybe that would make me feel more secure over time. And maybe like a dog wasn't right. No, I never question that. I love you, Brody. But I don't know. I'm just like, is this right? Like, I guess Brody maybe is the one thing I don't question, because I'm like, I love him so much. Like, this is like perfect and right. But other things, like, am I supposed to live in Pennsylvania? Like, should Max and I still be long distance? Should I not have come here? Like, should I be with him? It sounds even crazy saying it out loud, because I'm reassuring myself, like, yes, life is so good. You're so happy. But I don't know why I just like worry about these things. I don't know if anyone else does. And then I always will, like, if I age a year or two, what I'm trying to say, in the future, I'll look back and I'll be like, life was so good. I was good. I was fine. And I'll remember that I was worrying so much. And I'm like, why was I worrying? So then I try to apply that in the moment. And I'm like, why am I worrying? But then I still do. I don't know if anyone else relates to this. So I need to just know that everything's going to be okay. And what my dad would always say is, everything has a way of working itself out. And I would never believe him. Yeah, I even think back to like childhood, I would kind of worry all the time about things. Like if something seemed like it wasn't going to go right or something, things always do have a way of working themselves out. Even if it's not how you planned, like things always work out fine. And that's what I just hang on to. I mean, obviously in some circumstances, I don't know. But I just like thinking that in my head, that everything has a way of working itself out. Lucy, maybe this is a twin thing. I feel like we both are such worriers, and she'll call me and like worry about a lot of things and stress. And I would say, Lucy, everything has a way of working itself out. Remember what Daddy would say. And I just feel like he was right in a lot of ways. Lesson number 3 that I want to tell my younger self. Nobody really knows what's going on. No one. Even people that you think they do, they seem like they have it all together. Guess what? They probably will make a change later in life, or next year they'll pivot and do something else. I feel like what I've learned is that adults just pretend.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first 3 orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Like, we just make the best choices and decisions that we can, and we go with it. Like, we're all human beings on this earth just trying to survive, all trying to live meaningful lives. Wow, this is getting deep. This really makes me think of college when there's such a pressure. Like, even when you're 18, going into college, you're supposed to know, okay, exactly what is your major going to be? What do you want to do with your life? You're supposed to know right now, because this is like the path you're going to take to get there. And all these other people know, and look, your friend's going to be a doctor, and this friend's going to be a lawyer, and like, what are you going to do? Figure it out. Pressure, pressure, pressure. And you're like, I don't know. How did everyone else figure this out? But like, nobody really knows. I think people just sort of like pick one thing and stick with it. And then if they're like, no, that's not it, they pivot and they pick something else and they switch. And I think that's okay. And we will get to that too. But like I said, everyone's just pretending. No one really knows. I think I heard that on a TikTok too, and I loved it. And it made me think about how like sometimes I'll think about starting a business and that seems so daunting. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't know how to do that. Like, other people know how to do that and they have businesses. And then it's like, yeah, but nobody really knows. Everyone just starts somewhere, right? So this brings me to we're all trying to survive, live meaningful lives. Number 4, it's not always that serious. Like, having fun and moving through day-to-day life with joy is so important. And again, when you're in that like high school, college pipeline of like, important, 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 pressure, 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 do well in this class, this major, to get to this grad school, to have this job, you can like lose a lot of joy and just happiness in every day, because you are like hyper focused on what you think is right and what you have to be doing, which, like, newsflash, like, people have all sorts of different paths that they take to get places, and like, it's not just always like a straight shot, 4 years of college, this many years of grad school, you know, like, there's so many different ways to go about things. As I was saying, yeah, living every day with joy and like being happy and having fun is so important, because you really do only have one life. And so you want to look back and be like, wow, I lived my best life. Like, I was having fun, or at least trying to be happy, as happy as I could be, like doing the things that I wanted to do. Like I was kind of saying about Peyton, like living your life on your own terms, making decisions for you kind of thing. Like in college, that test that you're having an anxiety attack over will not kill you. Like, I think back to times like for finals, I could seriously have a panic attack at any moment. And it's like, why? Like, what is the worst case scenario here? You will be okay. Go back to lesson number 2. Everything's going to be okay. Say, okay, the test example, worst case scenario, you don't pass. Maybe you can retake it. Maybe like you're close with your professor. You're like, listen, I was having a really rough day. I can retake this, switch up the question. Maybe not. Maybe they're harder. Maybe they're like, no. And you're like, okay, could I do extra credit? I can do this, this, and this assignment. I'll write this paper. Maybe not. Okay, if all else fails, literally worst comes to worst, you retake the class. So what? Like, that's okay. Like, that's the worst that can happen. I feel like people think during finals, you're like, wow, if I don't pass this class, like, I could maybe die. You won't. Like, I mean, okay, I do. I mean, every single thing I say, every opinion I have, I have to like backpedal a little bit, because I'm like, okay, I do understand extenuating circumstances. Like, if you're like, no, I literally have to pass this Gretchen because I can't afford like another semester of school. Okay, I get it. I'm just saying, in the moment, things that seem like a huge deal maybe aren't really in the grand scheme of things. Like, they really aren't that huge of a deal, that big of a deal. I always have a way that reminds me of laughing at things in my life when they go horribly wrong, which sounds so messed up, but it's because I force myself to like think beyond the current situation, and I know it's something that could be funny later on when I'm like telling a friend. Like, for example, these things really sound horrible and like maybe the end of the world in the moment, but see, we can even laugh at them together because it's in the past. Like when my car would get towed, that's like really jarring, right? Like, you get out of, I remember this specifically, I was leaving my history class and I went to where my car was parked and I'm like, that's weird, where is my car? I think that was the first time my car was ever towed, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, where is it? Where do I even go? Who do I even call? What's going on? Like, it was such a mess. And then I got there and they're like, cash only. And of course I don't have cash, but I didn't have my car. So I had to walk to like a Rite Aid and do cash back. Like, it was a mess. Not an ideal way I would spend my day. Like, a bad thing that could happen. But it's funny later on, right? And like, it's not that deep. And it's just a lot easier, I feel like, to go through hard things with like a good, lighthearted attitude than like, oh my gosh, you know, but again, that really depends on the day. Sometimes I'll go through something hard and it's like really weighs me down and I can't even like do anything else because I'm just so down about it. But things are a lot easier when I can like laugh about it. I guess that's because I know that's like a little moment, like a little thing in a little moment. But I know bigger, harder things are obviously harder. Another thing that was like extremely embarrassing that's making me think of, when I went to BU, walking down Comm Ave, like the main road, I was a freshman too. Like, this has to be fall of my freshman year, and it was raining like crazy. And when it's raining that much and I'm like a broke little freshman, Uber was probably like $30 to get to my class. You know, it's like a mile away. I'm like, I'll walk, it'll be fine. And my umbrella's breaking, like me, my friend Taylor, like soaking wet. And I remember a bus or a car going by, you know where this is going, like a big mud puddle. And I was sprayed with like mud puddle all over me. I was wearing a white shirt, blue leggings, like Lulu blue leggings. I remember this so well. And like probably white Converse. Like, I looked horrible and it was awful. And I was like soaked. However, I can laugh looking back at that. And other people that saw that happen, it probably made their day in a way. Maybe not made their day, but if that was me, maybe I like laugh a little bit. I know I'd probably like feel bad for them. But like, that's kind of funny. And now it's really funny looking back at it. I'm like, poor little freshman me getting soaked on the way to class, just like trying to do my best. Anyway, it's just easier to go through hard things with like a lighthearted attitude. And basically this number four is that it's just not that serious. A lot of things are not that serious. Again, we're all just like trying to survive, live our best life. However, when things are serious, number five, lesson number five, because a lot of things are serious and important, and I feel like that's kind of a part of becoming an adult, learning to focus and prioritize, I have in all caps, like seriously prioritize, on what really matters. Like, that's what being an adult is, in my mind, at least. That's what it is to me. Like, relationships with friends and family. Again, newsflash, those take a lot of effort when you're all spread out during college or after college life. Like, it's a lot easier when you're all in the same hometown growing up. And if that's something, like, again, this applies to like every aspect of life, because that's something that could be really important to you. And you have to learn how to like focus on that and prioritize on that, so it's not lacking and you could like lose friendships. Yeah, honestly, this one specifically applies to like every area of life. Taking care of yourself, you got to focus on it. You got to prioritize that. It's not always easy. Eating well, again, got to prioritize it. It's not always easy, especially when you're really busy. Working out, again, see how this goes with everything. Actually studying for that test that's important to you. Holding yourself accountable to be the best version of yourself, right? This brings me to number six. Okay, this one I'm very passionate about, because I feel like when I started to think about this idea, I found out in myself how true this is. And I like so wholeheartedly relate to this. And I honestly feel like it was sort of transformational for me to think about it this way. So listen up, number six. And I have this in like little parentheses before it. Probably, like you probably, okay, like asterisks probably, because I can think of like a couple people in my life that maybe don't know, but you already know what the best version of yourself looks like. Like, you probably do already know these things, And probably what's holding you back is just the discipline to get there. And that's okay. Like, I'm sure that's how it is for most people. So maybe the best version of yourself could look like showing up for your friends and family more, or getting off TikTok to go to bed on time and get those 8 hours of sleep in. Or for me, for example, you're swapping out the scrolling before bed and the TikTok and Instagram for a nice read, since that's what I know personally the best version of myself is doing before bed. It's honestly kind of eerie and like weird if you think of it that way, of the best version of yourself is achievable and it's out there. And I almost think of it as like this person. Now are we rowdy and chewing on our toys, Mr. Brody? This Gretchen is like out there living her best life, being her best self, and I just have to like work to get there because I know I can. And this is reminding me a lot. If you guys remember like a while ago on my podcast, I used to talk about like the highest version of myself. I think I really first got this idea from Tori Sterling. If you guys know her, Tori DeSimone. And it was, again, very transformational for me. Because I think so much of what's held me back, like I'm in my own way. You know, when you hear that, like you're in your own way, get out of your own way. Like I could write down on a piece of paper and describe to you in detail the best version of myself and how she'd be living her life every day, how she would be taking care of herself and others, caring about her friends, family, and even more than that, like helping other people in every single way she could, like, you know, contributing towards charities that are important to her. She'd be prioritizing her physical health, her mental health, her well-being overall. She'd be like pushing herself and challenging herself career-wise, work-wise. Like I could tell you, I could write probably 10 pages about how the best version of myself would be. So it's crazy that so many people, it's like, I feel like we're all in our own way because we all could get there. It's just not easy, almost in reality, because of distractions and just things going on in life. This makes me think of a quote I've heard about like living a healthy lifestyle, working out, eating healthy. And it's something like, it's not easy, but it's simple. And that also really struck a chord with me because it's like, it is so simple. If someone's like, okay, eat healthy, workout, you're like, okay, simple. But it's not always easy in practice because you have to have the discipline to get there, even when you're tired, even when your alarm's going off at 6 and you don't feel like it. Like it's like those times that push yourself and test the discipline that you have. Back to what I was saying. Maybe the best version of yourself looks like, kind of like what I was saying, thoughtfully planning out your meals so that you know, because you know you have a busy schedule, that you know you'll have nutritious whole foods available to you on hand so that it's a little bit more easy. But being disciplined is hard, you guys. It takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of keeping promises that you make to yourself. I feel like it might be easy for those of you to follow me to be like, oh yeah, Gretchen is driven. She's disciplined. But honestly, I feel like it's something that I've struggled with. Like I feel like I can just give up. Probably not now. I'd say in the past I'd give up easily on promises I've made to myself, or just like take the easier off. I had like a healthy meal I could make in the fridge, and I still do this, that I was planning on making for dinner. I'll be lazy and I'll be really tired and I'll just like Postmate something. But it's like in those moments, if you choose the choice that you think the best version of yourself would be making, I promise that you will probably end up feeling better. Like seriously, try it. It feels so good to follow through on promises that you make to yourself. And it took me a long time to realize this. Like whenever I have my best days, like honestly yesterday, today, I've been having such good days, and it's because I'm not letting myself down on promises I've made to myself. Like I booked a workout class this morning and I went and I accomplished it and I feel so good after. And I sat down and I was scheduled to do this podcast today, got a little distracted texting my girlfriends like I was telling you about, but like I'm doing it and like fulfilling promises I've made to myself feels so good. This reminds me of a book I read, or at least started I'm horrible, a while ago. It was called Girl Wash Your Face. Probably a lot of you read that book. I feel like it's very popular. What really stuck with me from what I did read is, I think I did finish it. I really think I finished it. I didn't start the next one. Anyway, she talks about how promises that you make to yourself should be as important or even more important than promises you make to others. And that really stuck with me and struck a chord with me because I was like, wow, like, so why is this not that way a lot of the time? Like usually that is not the case. I feel like so many of us will give so much to others, like time, whatever it is, to friends, family, like promises you make to them, you'll show up for them because you love them and you care for them and you want to show them that they're important to you. And it's like, why don't we love ourselves and care for ourselves and show ourselves that we're showing up for ourselves and that, like, I'm important to me? That sounds so weird to say. But that really stuck with me. And I remember she had a goal of maybe like running a mile each day or running whatever it was. And you guys know this example if you read this book. And she talked about how she was going out to like dinner and drinks with friends. And she got home and it was like late at night. And does she have kids and a husband at this point? Probably. And all her friends were like, what the heck? Like, why are you going home? And maybe she even said that she was going to go home and like run when she got home at like 10 p.m. And everyone's like, what the heck? Like, why would you go do that? Aren't you tired? Like, it's late. Like, that makes no sense. Like, why would you go in your basement and run on your treadmill? And she's like, because I made a promise to myself. And that should be as important to me as promises I make to others, if not more important. Like, I have to show up for myself. And that like so struck a chord with me because I feel like so many of us, that will be the first thing that goes, right? Like, we always show up for our friends, family, whoever. And children, oh my gosh, I couldn't even imagine. I mean, yeah, I probably put Brody ahead of me sometimes. I'm like, oh, maybe I won't do the workout. Maybe I'll just cuddle with Brody and take him on a walk or whatever. But no, it's like to be the best version of yourself for all the other people that you are, whatever you are to them, aunt, uncle, cousin, mom, dad, sibling, daughter. You know, like you want to be the best version of yourself, aka doing the things that you know are best for you, aka keeping those promises to yourself. And I think I talk about this a little bit more later on, but keeping the promises that you've made to yourself, going through with that, you're going to feel really good. And I feel like that is how the most confident people are confident, because they keep the promises that they make to themselves. I know that sounds so vague, but I mean literal, like little things every day. If I have a plan of like what my meals are going to be today. I mean, that sounds like too structured. I mean, obviously I like go off my plan if I'm not feeling it or whatever. But if I, you know, stock my fridge with like wholesome, nutritious foods that are going to make me feel good, it's like I want to follow through with that and eat those foods and not like let my lettuce go bad. And Postmates, I feel like we can all relate to that because we've all done that. But it's like you feel like the best version of yourself when you are following through with like the plan you have set up for yourself, or working out, or calling your mom, or all those things, instead of just the alternative of, I don't know what it looks like for me, maybe just like laying there and feeling like I'm just gonna be a slob and like not get ready for the day and like scroll through TikTok and whatever. That's when I feel the worst. It's like I feel the best when I'm doing my best. Anyway, moving on. Number 7, this is like all over the place, but this is for like all areas of life, you know? Okay, breakups, romantically and friendships, are usually for the best. And what I mean by this is trust yourself, okay? Because I can think back at times if I've like broken up romantically or friends or whatever, and then you question it afterwards and you second guess and you're like, maybe I was right. No. Trust yourself, because you had the intuition, the gut instinct that it wasn't right anymore and that you wanted to part ways. And so you need to trust yourself, and they usually are for the best. And I think they are the best time for self-growth and improvement. And I promise, okay, that you will find someone better for you in the future, if it's romantically, friendship, whatever. Because I feel like as you grow up, you learn, you change, so will your friends and your partner, and you may grow apart and you may start to value different things. You may spend your time differently, and that's okay. I think you just have to know when your values no longer align, or you feel like you can't be yourself with them, or you feel like they aren't bringing out the best in you, you aren't bringing out the best in them, if the respect isn't there, et cetera, like the list goes on and on. You just have to trust yourself enough and love yourself enough to walk away. Remember, these times are the best times for self-improvement, self-growth, and I just feel like so many people have their glow-ups and their best moments after a breakup or something like that. Oh, this is like giving me deja vu. I feel like I heard something recently like this the other day, how they were talking about how in every like Marvel movie or superhero movie, like it's always after something horrible and you like have this big like glow up life moment or something. And I feel like that's so true. And it is like a sign from the world that this is like the time to focus on you. And back to what I said, like I promise you, whatever relationship you were in, friendship wise, romantic wise, and you think, I'm never going to find a friend like that again, I'm never going to find a partner, like, yes, you will. And it'll be even better because it'll be someone that is like aligned with the current version of you, not the 16-year-old version of you anymore, you know? Number 8, this one's important. Your journey of self-love is just that, a journey, okay? And something that you will always have to work on. Gretchen, 16-year-old you, I'm yelling at you here. It's not easy. So giving yourself grace and self-care are very important. Confidence, your self-confidence will ebb and flow a lot, okay? But like I was saying, keeping those promises you make to yourself will help with that confidence. Also, go back and listen to my body image episode. I think it's episode number 2 of my podcast, especially if you haven't listened to it before, because I could talk all day long about how your body is exactly how it's supposed to be and you are meant to do so many more things with your life, and your body is capable of so many things more than picking yourself apart in the mirror or looking at yourself in a picture and not liking the way that it looks or looking at yourself in a bathing suit. I don't know. Like, your body is capable of so much, especially women. Hello, you can literally like grow and create another human life. Talk about impeccable. Talk about impressive, okay? And like the fact that we, it honestly makes me so sad that we like look at ourselves and be like, oh, I wish I could just like make my thighs a little bit smaller, or make my stomach a little bit flatter. Like, no, that literally doesn't matter. That makes me think about too how people talk about how like at your funeral, no one's gonna be like, wow, like she had really thin legs. What the, like no one in the history of ever has ever said anything about how you look. They'll be like, she was such a kind soul. She was such a generous person. She was such a lover. She was such, whatever it is. Like, how you look doesn't really matter. And how you look changes a lot as you grow up. And especially when you're thinking about like life partners, looks come and go, people. So like what's deep down is actually what matters. And I think about how cool it is that we all look so different and we're all different shapes and sizes. And isn't that so wonderful? And isn't that so cool that we're all so unique? And how boring would it be if we were all looking exactly the same? Oh, okay, that's just like a little taste of that episode, you guys, but I like do a deep dive into body image stuff because, whoa, have I been on a journey with body image. But also if you're, especially if you're a girl, who hasn't, right? Like we all have. I feel like whenever I bring that up with anyone, I'm like, let's be real here. Like who hasn't thought about a little bit too much how they're looking or what they're eating or, you know what I'm saying? And I want to tell younger me and all of you listening that if you slip up and get lazy and get caught in your old ways, I was so bad with this when I was younger in high school. I think about it, like, it makes me so sad. I want to go, like, hug younger me. I would scroll constantly on Instagram, whatever it is, Tumblr. I feel like that was a thing back in the day. And I would feel so bad for myself, like, comparing my body and how it looks to other people's bodies, like, their life, their intelligence, whatever it is, comparing that to someone else. It's almost like that's my own fault that I was doing that in that moment. Like maybe I was young, like I didn't know. But now like I'm going to be mad at myself for doing that because I know how I'm going to feel. And it's like that person that I'm comparing myself to doesn't know that I'm doing that. And it's honestly only hurting me. Just like how, number 9. I like how these feed into the next one. Number 9. Okay, this reminds me how holding a grudge or resentment towards someone really only hurts you. Well, at least more than it hurts them at least, okay? Hear me out. It feels heavy and negative and it takes up too much mental space. Whereas forgiving someone is very mature and I think brave too. I think it's easy to cut someone out of your life completely. I mean, sometimes people should, by the way. It depends. But even if you do that or you decide to keep them in your life to whatever extent, forgiveness will feel a lot better for you. Trust me. This reminds me a lot of the book. I'm like quoting so many things in this. If you guys know the book Blowing My Way to the Top by, I think that's how it's called, Blowing My Way to the Top. It's Jen Atkin's book. She talks about how forgiveness is such a powerful thing. It really struck me because I so agree. And that makes me think about friends and family members that I see that like hold resentment with them. It just hurts them and it makes them resentful and unhappy and it's doing no one any good. Okay. So that I think is important because I think about how a lot of times I could like be angry with someone or be mad at a situation and instead of just like letting it go and moving on and forgiving for whatever reason or shape or rhyme or way, it would really like weigh down on me and make me resentful, and that's not a good way to go through life. So forgiveness is important, people. That's a good lesson to learn, and I feel like that comes with maturity and age. Or some people, it never comes ever. That reminds me how I always say, what I've learned in young adulthood is that adults are literally just big babies. Oh my gosh, isn't it shocking when you see an adult acting like horribly and you're like, wow, you are a child, just like a big child. Anyway, this brings me to lastly, number 10, you guys. I'm happy we're concise and we're like getting through this because I just want you to hear the good stuff and I don't want to like ramble too much because I have been rambling. Okay, this one's hard. Maybe we'll get a little emotional, but that's okay. Last thing I want to tell my younger self. I'm like already wanting to cry. Why am I going to cry? I'm thinking about like 15-year-old me that was like so innocent and had like no idea what life was going to like throw at her. And I'm probably going to think about that when I'm 50 looking back at me now, because like more hard things will happen in the next 25 years of my life. Anyway, growing up is realizing that things are not always sunshine and rainbows, and that it can be difficult and sad, and really horrible things do happen, okay? But it's how you react and how you respond in moments like this that defines you. That's really what I've learned. Like, take this, for example, from someone who avoids all sadness, all pain, things like that. It's quite literally in my personality type, ENFP, like I said. If you read about that personality type, it's like you focus on the good, you're very optimistic, positive, which is so me. Like, that is how I feel like I choose to live, because it feels a lot better going through life like that. But life does have a way of knocking you down. Like, it will knock you down. It will pull the rug out from under you, okay? When I really first lost my faith was at 22, when I suddenly lost my dad. I'm sure you guys were knowing that was coming. Like, of course, that's when it was like the hardest thing I ever went through. My faith was like gone. I'm like, it was the first time where I was like, you know, God, world, whatever you believe in, how is this okay right now? How am I supposed to go on without my best friend? Now I'm getting emotional. Like, what could possibly be the reason for this? When I say things like, everything's going to be okay, everything happens for a reason, that's always been my favorite quote. And I'm like, yeah, okay. First thing that happened in my life that I'm like, I'm not seeing the reason. Like, hello, what is the reason? Are you kidding me? But with time, I've found peace and honestly, plenty of reasons that make sense to me. So hear me out. Silver linings, if you will. Maybe you want to hate me for telling you to find silver linings in your most difficult moments, and that's okay. But I found it to be very helpful personally, okay? So if you're going through a breakup, for example, maybe a silver lining is finding yourself again. What you like to do, taking note of people you feel the best around, knowing that, I mean, honestly, really for romantic relationships, I feel like it all works out. And if it's meant to be, it will be eventually, at least. So for me, the first silver lining in my hardest moment in my life was I found I was able to share the hardest thing I've ever dealt with online, and it honestly connected me with so many others that lost their parents. And like, not only was I leaning on you guys that have lost a parent, but I would hope in a way that I kind of became like a beacon of hope that you can and will go on after a tremendous loss, okay? I also felt so grateful for the 22 years I did have with my dad, instead of thinking about all the time that was lost and feeling resentful. Don't get me wrong, sometimes I still do feel very resentful and angry, and like, that's okay, and just a part of the grieving process. And I'll get so mad and I'll be like, why was he taken from me so early? Like, there's so much life I have left to live that I want to share with him. Like, it's not fair. But I know we all feel that way with loss. It also, I kind of felt peace in knowing how much my dad taught me. And it felt like, in a way, the world was maybe saying, like, his job is done here in your life, which also makes me sad to think about, because I don't think his role in my life is over. Like, I honestly think about him every single day, and I feel like, I feel like I live through his legacy every day, or like he lives within me in a way, because I feel like I am so similar to him. I don't even know how to describe it. Like, I don't know. I just felt like losing my dad, especially at 22, like the very beginning of my young adult life, like literally 2 months before I graduated college, it felt like the world was like, okay, he taught you almost everything he knew. Here you go. Like, you're an adult now. Go do it and like live every day in his honor, kind of thing. That's kind of what it felt like. So these are just maybe me and how I cope with it and whatever, but they are silver linings that I've found. And this is a lot of examples and explaining for just telling you that Again, this is really hard for someone that is very optimistic and positive and only wants to focus on the good in life. But the reality is that life isn't always sunshine and rainbows, as I wish it was. And difficult and sad and really horrible things will happen. But again, how you react, how you move forward defines who you are as a person. So those are the things I wish I could tell my younger self, you guys. Sorry we got real deep at the end. I almost feel like I could do a part two with this. I feel like there are so many things I wish I could tell my younger self. That was just like the tip of the iceberg, you know? I have a little bonus moment here at the end where I wrote, okay, like if this isn't way too long, which I feel like we're just around an hour right now. If this isn't way too long, maybe I could just quickly mention these. So last couple quick things that I would tell my younger self, or I guess I maybe already knew, but now I'm really realizing with a dog of my own, and I just want to say to everyone, is that animals are seriously a gift from the world, from God, from, again, whatever you believe in. They are such a gift. Like, they are such a joyful privilege and make life so fun and happy. Back to what number was that where I talked about? Oh, number four. It's not always that serious. Having fun, being joyful is so important. Animals are just it. They are where it's at. Yes, they are hard. They're hard work, but it also teaches you how to like take care of a living being. And it's so like purposeful. It's so fulfilling. And yeah. I guess I would tell my younger self that. I guess she would find out anyway because I have like my bestie Brody right now. Like I don't even know what I would be doing in life without him. Also, another bonus is that maybe I touched on it a little bit, like maybe talking about like losing friends, whatever. Who you spend the most time with day to day matters a lot. Like, you know that saying, like, you are the sum of the five people you spend the most time with? It is so true. Like, you guys definitely notice it too. I feel like I've talked about this with my friends, like, especially since I'm usually making new friends, like, each season for hockey. We were talking about recently how we'll pick up on little things each other will say. And like recently, a girl the other day was like, something I always say, I'll say yes, yes, yes. Like I say yes like three times to things. I don't know where I picked that up from, but I'll just be like, oh, yes, yes, yes. Or I always say things that are like a lot going on or something, like especially with the hockey world, I'm sure you can imagine. I'm always like, oh, this is a whole thing. Like driving to the Philly game tonight for me will probably take like hour 45. It'll be a whole thing. Parking is a mess. There's a million cars. That's a whole thing. It's all a whole thing. And so my friends, I will notice, they'll be like, oh, here you go. It's a whole thing. Or like they'll pick up on that. Or, you know, like you start to say words and things your friends say. And so that is just like such a clear sign to me. Like, what else do you pick up from them? Do you pick up their ideas about life, like the way they go about life? Do they make you feel good when you're around them? Like, do they challenge you? Do they inspire you? Like, those are the people I like to be around, not people that like bring you down or make you feel negative or put you down or anything like that. So who you spend your time with really does matter. Yeah, I would tell my younger self that, because I feel like when you're younger, you have a hard time of navigating, like, is this person a good friend to me? Like, I don't know that many people in life yet in my little town. I think I need to hang on to them, but you don't need to hang on to people that aren't good to you or for you in your life, you know? Like, you don't need to be tethered to them forever just because you were friends in the past. Next little bonus is, this is so sad. I wrote, nothing matters as much as you think it does. How like morbid. It's like, oh, we all die one day. Nothing matters that much. No, I think what I really mean is that almost like people aren't thinking about you as much as you think they are, which again is sad. Like your friends and family love you and think about you. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying like when you worry about how you are being perceived and what other people think of you, they aren't thinking about it that much. Like, you know, when people, I mean, I'm guilty of this. You stress over like, oh my God, what Instagram photo do I post? Like this one looks cuter, but like, my face looks better in this one. But I like the way my body's positioned in this one. But then like me and my friends look happier in this one. Guys, isn't there a stat? Like when someone's scrolling on their Instagram feed, they look at your photo and maybe like it. They look at it for on average 2 seconds or 3 seconds. Like no one's worrying about it that much, thinking about it that much, even noticing your hair that's like has a flyaway hair. No one even notices. So that's all to say is like, it's not that serious. It's not that deep. Live your own best life and do whatever you want to do because like no one's caring as much as you think they care. So just like think about yourself. Oh, and my last thing is kind of goes with that is just worry about yourself. like, life will be so much better if you just stay in your own lane, worry about yourself. You're not comparing yourself to others. Just literally live life on your own terms. Think about yourself, obviously, and others, like, care about other people, but do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, compare. Yeah, I guess it's all comparison at the end of the day. Like, your career, your life to anyone else, just worry about yourself. You're doing the best you can. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. And we're going to bring it back to my favorite quote of the day. You are your home at the end of the day. Like, you're all you've got. So you want to be cozy and comfy and feeling good in what you've created for yourself. I'm trying to be like so deep over here, but I mean, all I have to say is you are your own home at the end of the day, and that can mean whatever you want it to mean to yourself, but I just love it. I think it's very sweet and comforting. But that is it for this episode, you guys. I hope you enjoyed. I hope maybe some of my favorite lessons or things that I've learned along the way maybe stuck with you, struck a chord with you. Maybe you will like them as well or be like, wow, I needed to hear that. But yeah, I love you guys so, so much. Thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you at my next episode. Bye.